Well, Shabbat Shalom, everyone. We want to pray before we begin our study, so I want you to repeat after me as we pray in Hebrew. Baruch atah Adonai. Eloheinu melech haolam. Asher kidshanu. B'mitzvotav. Vetzivanu. La'asok b'divrei Torah. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who sanctifies us with your commandments and commands us to engross ourselves in the words of Torah. Amen. Amen. Well, we're continuing in the theme of living for God and renewing our minds. We want to learn to think differently. To renew our minds requires that we put off some thinking and we put on other thinking. And as an example, our Torah reading this morning gives us a very provocative change of mind that's called for. It tells us in Leviticus chapter 25, if you can turn there in your Bibles. You know, I would like to ask you to show me your Bibles. If you've got a Bible, lift one up. Okay. If you got a digital Bible, all the digerati, will you lift yours up? Look at this. We're growing in numbers. Fantastic. Leviticus chapter 25, verse 23. We read this morning during the Torah service, and it says, the land is mine, says the Lord. So who does the land of Israel belong to?
Hashem.
It's the Lord's. And then he says something to the Jewish people. He says, you're sojourners, you're strangers and sojourners, or aliens and sojourners in this land. Now that's very interesting, because what it means is God retains all the rights to the land. And yet he gives authority to Israel to live in the land, but Israel is told to live in the land under certain conditions. In other words, to submit their own wills to God's will. Now, whenever God exercises that kind of ownership rights and declares it, it means he wants to make sure that we get it and that we don't forget who the land belongs to. So let's remind ourselves again, who does Eretz Yisrael, the land of Israel, belong to?
Hashem,
the Lord. That's right. It belongs to the Lord, and that makes all of the Jewish people living in the land sojourners, aliens and sojourners. Now, the reason that's provocative is because Israel came out of Egypt where they were sojourners and aliens and had less than full rights. And God said, I brought you out of there where you were not just slaves, you were aliens and sojourners, and I bring you into the land of Israel, which I give to you. But it's interesting, I give it to you, but you're still aliens and sojourners. You remain in that condition. And then in the reading from the Brit HaChadashah, the New Covenant Scriptures, in Hebrews 11, verse 13, there is this reminder that all of Yeshua's disciples are also aliens and sojourners on the whole planet. Okay, so if you're sitting next to someone who's on the planet, smile at them and say, you're an alien. You're an alien. Now, it doesn't mean you're from Mars, though you may think that of the person next to you. You're an alien. You're a sojourner. You're a sojourner. You're living here, but... Now, let's remember what the buts are. The first but is, but the earth is the Lord's. You see, the earth belongs to the Lord. That's why we have stewardship responsibilities for the earth. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, and all who dwell therein and live on it. So, the first but is, the earth belongs to the Lord. The second but is, though you live in it and you dwell in it, it's not your permanent home. And even when God brings us into that eternal realm, this world will be transformed. And the world that we take, the universe that we take up our eternal citizenship in, will be a transformed universe. And so we have to get our minds transformed. We have to get our thinking transformed. The land of Israel and the earth are important. They're very important, but they belong to God. And we change our minds in some ways. We stop thinking like everything we've got is ours. And we start recognizing the land of Israel belongs to God. The people of Israel belong to God. The earth belongs to God. And the people of the world belong to God. And if we can see things a little differently, it will help us. It will help us as we deal with the complexities of trying to be responsible and making important decisions in the life that we have to live. Now, to help us think differently this morning and to renew our minds, I want to talk to you today about three secrets that God rewards. And I invite you to go to Matthew chapter 6, where we see in verse 6, the first secret that we could call secret prayer. Would you say that with me? Secret prayer. And it says, when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. And then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. You see, God is hidden. He acts in secret or hidden ways. And it is good to gather together on Shabbat and to pray. It's good to gather together with two or three people on a regular basis and pray. But you know what? There's another kind of prayer that has to do with going all by yourself to be with the Lord. And if it requires that you go into a place in your house and you shut the door and no one can come in and no one will hear you so that you can do this, then so be it. Some people like to go out into the woods. That's one of my favorite places. Haven't done it so much here in Florida. But some people like to go outside to pray by themselves. In any case, Yeshua is telling us that each of us needs to find a private place and a private way so that we can pray, where no one else will hear us except the Father. See, God sees what's done in secret. This is really important. Where it says done in secret, if you just thought of that phrase all by itself, you might think, uh-oh. He sees what we did in secret. Uh-oh. Now, he's not just looking at the stuff you're ashamed of. He's looking at the good stuff. When you draw together quietly with the Lord, all by yourself with the Lord, that's a secret thing that you do that he considers precious. You see, some people find it difficult to pray in front of others, where other people find it easy to pray in front of others. But for every one of us, God says, come to me by yourself. I have been with many people who have felt if someone else would pray for them, God would hear that person's prayers and answer them. Maybe you've been in that state of mind where you thought you needed someone else. And in fact, there are moments where we do need other people, but God is trying to say something to us through this word from Yeshua, that every one of us can come to the Lord by ourselves. Every one of us is beloved as a child of God, known by name by God our Father. And he wants us to come close to him and to be unashamed in it. God sees what's done in secret, including your secret good, which includes your secret prayer, and your Father will reward you. Now this phrase, then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. That's a powerful statement, isn't it? There is a promise to those who pray in secret. Your Father will see you. And he will reward you. God takes very special notice when you talk to him when no one else is looking, when no one else is listening, when no one else notices. There are times when you can only pour your heart out to him. No one else will understand. You may be able to pray together like we do when we gather here. You may be able to pray with others. But there is a certain kind of praying that is filled with honesty and openness, that is one person talking to God, that cannot be replaced by any other form of prayer. Praying in secret to God allows you to tell him about your hopes and your dreams, not only your troubles. Now, in difficult times, it's very easy, I think, to talk to God about our troubles. It's very easy to focus on what you don't have or the problems that you have, the pains that you have, the difficulties you have, the needs that you have. It's easy to do that sometimes to the exclusion of praying to God about our hopes and our dreams. Tell God what you want to become. If God's put in your heart some vision for how you're going to be in the future, go to that secret place and talk to him about it. Talk to him. You know, the future that is planted in you comes from the Lord. God puts eternity in your heart. He puts desires in your heart, and he wants you, Yeshua told us this in the book of John, he wants you to come to him and to ask the Father for those desires. And then when you receive them, you will bear fruit that will bring glory and honor to the Father, because you'll know the Father heard you and he gave you what you were asking for. He gives you desires because he's trying to express to you something about the future. And when he puts those desires in you, you can ask for them. If you're abiding with Yeshua, if his word is abiding in you, then your time of secret prayer can and must include asking for the things that are good that the Father's put in your heart. The second secret is mentioned just a few verses earlier in Matthew chapter 6, verse 3. It's secret giving. Yeshua said this, "When you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing." Isn't that difficult? My hands, I think, know all the time. But it's basically a phrase that means, don't congratulate yourself and don't talk it over too much. When you decide to give and you give, be satisfied with the decision. When you give to the needy, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. See, isn't this interesting? Now, we've come up with two things that Yeshua says are secrets connecting to the rewards that come from the Father. Secret prayer, secret giving. Now, it's important to know that in the verses around that, those two that we just read, verses 3 and 4, Yeshua warns people not to give in such a way to be noticed. And it's worth taking a little bit of time to understand what that means. It is okay to be noticed. How do we know that? Well, I'll give an example. When the widow gave her mite, Yeshua noticed her, right? And not only that, put her in the Bible so that you and I can notice her, right? And there are countless examples. There was the case of, who was it, the centurion who gave money for the synagogue, right? He was noticed, right? And so the point that Yeshua is making is not that you do everything in such a way that no one could ever see it. It's this, that if your motivation is to be noticed, that may be the only reward that you actually get, which is to be noticed. Now, the widow who gave her mite, she was noticed, but it wasn't her motivation to be noticed, right? Because you can't give that little and expect that people will say, that's fantastic giving. You gave a nickel today. I want to praise you. Yeshua noticed because the little represented a lot. And he noticed because it wasn't the amount of money, it was the condition of her heart that prompted her to give so much. And a little for her was so much. So it's okay to be noticed. It's okay to be honored. But our motivation cannot be primarily to be honored, or that will be the full reward that you get. When you get reward like that, it's all you get. And it's almost as if the Lord is saying, if you want to do things just so you can be recognized, if that's the only reason or the primary reason, you will get your recognition. However, I don't have any further rewards for you. But when it's not your motivation, sometimes you will be recognized, like the widow, like the centurion, like others. But the Father, even so, will store up reward for you that's beyond the recognition. Your Father sees what is done in secret, and He will reward you. Now, there's a third secret I want to talk about this morning. It's secret serving. Not the secret service. They've got their problems right now. I'm talking about secret serving. Serving done in secret. And I think it's important to really stay focused on what Yeshua was saying about motivation here. So we'll start with Matthew 6, verse 1, where it says, be careful not to do your acts of righteousness, tzedakah, before men to be seen by them. See, that's the emphasis, to be seen. You're doing it so that you will be seen. If you do, you'll have no reward from your Father in heaven. So here the question is a question of motivation. What's going on in the heart? Why do you do it? And if that's the only motivation, then it will become the only reward that you get. And there is another kind of reward, what your Father in heaven gives to you. So this brings us to the idea that there is a kind of secret serving. Serving that the Lord takes note of, that's so important to Him, you may not even notice it yourself. There may be times when you're serving just because it's in your heart to serve, and you're doing it, and you even enjoy doing it. It may be pleasant to you. It may bring you joy in your heart and gladness, and you may not even think you're serving. And yet the Father will be looking at you and saying, that's a great servant. And there are also times, and I want to speak to you about this because some of you may need encouragement. There are times when you'll serve and no one will notice. And your heart really needs to be encouraged. And you need someone to notice and no one notices. You need someone to say, that was good what you did, thank you, and no one does. But there's one who does, and there's one who will. And so turn to Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10. It says, God is not unjust. He will not forget. Say that with me. He will not forget. He will not forget how hard you've worked for Him and how you have shown your love to Him by caring for other believers, as you still do. He will not forget. Say that again with me. He will not forget. Other people will forget. There are people who you can help when they're in trouble, and when they're out of trouble, they won't even remember you. When they needed you, they were close, and when they stopped needing you, they went far away. Bless their hearts. Bless their hearts. And sometimes when we serve people and we don't get that recognition and the gratitude that we need and in some ways deserve, we may feel like, what's the point? Why am I doing it? And in Hebrews, it's telling us why we're doing it. God's watching. and he's taking notice. He cares. He understands. He will not forget how hard you've worked for him and how you've shown your love to him by caring for other believers. Other people may not even be able to notice what you have done, but God notices. And there's a certain kind of worship to God, avodah, it's called in Hebrew, that is not just singing, it's not just praising the Lord, it's not just prayer, but it's actual practical service, doing something for another person. In modern Hebrew, in Israel, avodah is now used in such a way that it would be translated as work. You go to your work, you do your work, avodah. But it's a word that means work, worship, service, ministry in biblical Hebrew, and it still means that in God's eyes. Everything that you do that is an act of love towards the Lord, but expressed by serving other people, God is taking notice of it and he won't forget. So the motivation here is to show your love to God by caring for other believers. And then I like the last part of that sentence, as you still do. Say that with me. As you still do. You see, this is not you're going to get remembered for what you used to do. No. You get remembered for what you are still doing. And when you're still doing it, all the stuff you used to do is gathered together too. None of it's lost. But don't give up. Don't give up. Even if you feel like no one has recognized what you've done and you needed to be recognized and thanked, don't give up. Because the Lord is still looking at you. This reminds me of what is expressed in Isaiah 57:10. It says, you were tired out by the length of your road, and yet you did not say, it is hopeless. You found renewed strength, and therefore you did not faint. Isaiah 57:10. Some of you can identify with this. The road seemed too long. The way seemed too long, and it seemed like you should already have reached the destination or the conclusion. And you lost your strength, but you didn't say it was hopeless. And you kept going. And because you kept going, you renewed your strength. And you didn't faint. You see, there are times when you think you're out of strength. And if you keep going, you will faint. But there are times when, with God's help, you can keep going and your strength returns, it renews. It comes back. Now, everybody needs time off. You know that. If you don't know that, let me explain to you what Shabbat means. Time off. And the passage that we read in the Torah this week is about giving the land time off, giving farmers time off. I can't imagine if America was under the same jurisdiction as the year of Jubilee. Because I can't imagine that we would figure out how we as a country would just stop doing our agricultural work for 2 years in a row in the land of in the year of Jubilee. You know, the seventh year and the 50th year together. That's not going to happen. But we're not under that mandate. But Israel has been under that mandate. And that's why the prophets say sometimes that the land got cleared of its people so that the land could take a rest. Even the land needs a rest. It's difficult. But there are times when you feel like rest is not enough, because it's not. You feel like having a break or a vacation is not enough, because it's not. And you will have to find a way to get strength from the secret sources of life, not from the normal things you do. Now, if you're not sleeping enough, I would recommend that you sleep more. Good wisdom from your rabbi. What did the rabbi say today? Well, he said, if I don't sleep enough, I should sleep more. And a lot of people live in America on the verge of exhaustion every single day simply for not sleeping enough. When your body might need 7, 8, 9 hours of sleep and you're getting 6, you're in a deficit every single day. And young people can do it for a period, but it takes a toll on them. Red Bull sells to a lot of people, but it just has the same effect. It sort of keeps you going, but it doesn't get you any rest or real refreshment. And it may be that your body's tired because it's not exercised enough. That's the paradox of exercise, that you can actually get tired doing exercise and it will make you stronger and less tired later. Where not doing it will make you more tired. Isn't that true? Yeah. So if you're not exercising at all, I have a good recommendation for you. Exercise. Come over here to our lake and walk around. You know, take a 15, 20-minute walk. Take a 10-minute walk and just walk and enjoy the beautiful lake during the week and pray and say, Lord, thank you that my body still can walk. And if you're only eating foods that wear you out, that make you tired, I have a recommendation. Change your way of eating. These are simple things. I didn't even have to write these down to know them. And neither do you. These are basic things, aren't they? But after you've done these things, or when you've done these things and still your soul wants to give up, it's important to press into God. And you press into God by drawing on His secret power, which includes secret prayer, secret giving, and secret service. Now I said it, secret service. I didn't mean to. Secret serving. I was trying to avoid saying it that way. You see, God knows that your life is hidden in Him. Colossians 3:3 says it so perfectly. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Messiah in God. Let's say that together. Colossians 3:3. For you died to this life. And your real life is hidden with Messiah in God. You died to this life of living without God. You died to this life of trying to cope on your own strength and in your own power. You died to the life of sin, of independence, of going separately from God. You died to that life. But your real life is hidden with Messiah. It's in the secret place. When you spend that time in the secret place with the Lord, praying in secret, when you serve in secret, when you express your generosity in secret, you get rewards from the Father that will empower you for everyday living. And no one will know where it came from. My advice is, if you've served in secret or done these things in secret, don't spend the next week telling everyone. Then it stops being a secret. Well, I want to put a slide set up. This is three steps up. I want to close this time by introducing a new resource for you called Three Steps Up. And it's a homework assignment, if you're willing. Now, if you don't do homework, you know, then you won't get the benefit. Because I want to just give you three steps that you can take during the week and put into practice what we're learning about, these three secrets that God rewards. So let's look at the first one. The first step is tell God your secret hopes and dreams. This is an aspect of secret prayer. Tell God this week, something about what you're hoping for and what you're dreaming for, the strong, good, positive desires of your heart that you know he's in favor of, that you know he planted in your heart, and express them to the Lord. Talk to him about the way things are going to be when you're through all of this and you're into the next phase. Talk to him about how life is going to be good when he's brought you into that place that he spoke to you about, when he raised you up. That's why I'm asking you to take three steps up. It's not just three steps forward, it's up. Take a step up towards the Lord by telling him your secret hopes and dreams. You may be spending secret time in prayer talking about all your sorrows. We do that sometimes. And we need to take a break and tell the Lord about our hopes and our dreams too. So that's step up number one. Let's look at the second step that you can take. Serve in secret. I believe if your heart's willing, you'll be presented with opportunities this coming week to serve people who you don't know and who don't know you. They're not going to be able to pay you back. You're never going to run into them again. They're not even going to know who you are. But if you serve in some small way, it may be bringing a drink of water to someone. It may be that simple. It may be helping carry something heavy for a person who's having difficulty handling it. A perfect stranger in the parking lot, at the store, or so forth. Someone you don't know who doesn't know you. Take those opportunities and cherish them. The other day I was out, I was going to Barnes & Noble. So I don't expect any reward from the Father for this because I'm going to tell you. But it was just a simple thing. I was walking up to the store and I saw this little girl, maybe 5, 6, 7 years old, and she looked troubled. And she was all by herself standing in front of the Barnes & Noble, in front of a big parking lot area, and she was crying, I could tell. And as I saw her, I just got close enough. I didn't want to get too close. You know why? And I didn't want to threaten her that way. So from a distance from here to, say, the BMO, I said, "Are you okay?" And she said, this is perfect childlike thinking, "My mom is lost." And so I said, "Were you in the store?" And she said, "Yes." And I said, "We're going to go into the store and we're going to talk to someone who works there and they're going to call for your mother, okay?" And she said, "Okay." So we went into the store and, you know, I'm looking around, where are we going to go? We start going to the customer service. And before I can get there, this girl's saying, "I looked everywhere for my mother and she's not here." We get near the customer service and her mother shows up. And I just said to her mother, she was outside by herself. Her mother gets her, they continue their shopping. Now, that mother didn't even say thank you. I didn't really care. It wasn't about any of that. You know what I noticed was my mind was on other stuff when I was going there. I was thinking about what I wanted to do and what I wanted to accomplish. And I think that God heard a prayer I had prayed, which is, "Lord, open my eyes to see some things I wouldn't see." And so for that reason, maybe I saw that girl. Not to help her, even though it did help her, but to help me. Because I need my eyes open to see things. And maybe you're in the same condition. In order to get where God wants to bring you, you need to be able to see what otherwise you wouldn't see. So I encourage you, there are going to be some opportunities to serve people you don't know who don't know you this week. Take those opportunities. Most likely, they're going to be very small, but cherish them. Now, the third step up, we'll show you here, is to give in secret. You'll have an opportunity to give something in secret. Maybe you'll send an anonymous card to someone who needs to be cheered up, or you'll send a gift anonymously, or you'll make an anonymous contribution. Maybe you'll buy someone's meal at the restaurant who doesn't know you and you don't know, or they'll never find out who you are. How many of you would like to be at a restaurant and when it's time to pay your bill, you're told, "I'm sorry, it's already been paid"? Who's in favor of that? Who's actually had that happen to them? A few of us. Who would like to have that happen to you this week? I mean, this week. Okay, I can promise you most of you will not receive this. I'm pretty sure. However, for everyone who would like to receive it, you could do it this week. And you could actually cause someone else to experience the joy that you would have if it happened to you. And the whole point of these secret things, secret prayer, secret serving, secret giving, is the Father uses it and rewards it in ways that are very different from all other kinds of prayer, serving, and giving. Look for such an opportunity and then take it. Let the Lord speak to your heart. We're approaching Shavuot, where we celebrate the giving of Torah and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And let the law of the Lord, love for one another, be resting in your heart. And let the works of the Holy Spirit be driving you and motivating you. And let God give you eyes to see opportunities that will enable you to be a blessing, knowing that your Father takes notice of it. Do it from the joy of your heart, not for the purpose of the reward, but for the joy. Amen. And I can promise you this. If you do it for that reason and with that heart, God will notice. He will be blessed. It will bring pleasure to him, and his joy will spread out to you in many sincere ways. So let's look at the three steps up. Do one, two, or three of these. Tell God your secrets, specifically your hopes and dreams. Number two, serve in secret. Look for an opportunity to serve someone you don't know who doesn't know you. And give in secret. Take an opportunity this week to give in a way that blesses others but keeps you anonymous. We want to close in prayer. We want to thank the Lord for his goodness, that he sees what's done in secret. I want to pray for healing for everyone who gets nervous when they hear that God knows the secrets of your heart. Lord, help us. Help us. Help us understand how much you love us. Help us recognize that when you look deeply into our hearts, you're doing good towards us. Help us know that you see good in us and that you reward the good when we pray in secret and we serve in secret and we give in secret, because you see what's hidden. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Heal our hearts, Lord, that have been wounded by others and by our own sin, that causes us to expect judgment, to expect criticism, to expect rejection. Heal us, Lord, that we would receive, Lord, the healing that comes from your love directly. Heal us, Lord, so that our hearts are filled and renewed and able to serve you by serving others. Give to us, Lord. I pray for replenishing of everyone's finances who needs replenishing. If you need replenishing in your finances, just say to the Lord, "That's me. I need replenishing, Lord." Lord, replenish our finances. Fill up our coffers, so that we would not lack the resources we need for everyday living and for living abundantly and giving generously. Thank you, Lord. for everyone whose heart and soul needs to be refreshed. You've been on that long road like Isaiah talked about. And you wonder, where will I get the strength to keep going? But you did not become hopeless, and you are not hopeless. You are tired, exhausted, worn out, with no reserves, but hope is still alive in you. Lord, I pray that your word would be fulfilled in each of these men and women who have hope, that those who trust in you will overflow with hope. And I pray that this hope that exists would start overflowing. And I pray that you would refill and refresh the souls of your children, that we could come to you with gladness and with joy. I pray, Lord, as we're doing these things in secret, that it would bring us closer to you and bring you closer to us, that we would bring pleasure to you, and that our lives, Lord, would be like a fragrant offering to you, that we would be a pleasing aroma to you, that you would enjoy our scent, that you would be able to say we're living for you, that our lives are hidden in you through Messiah. Blessed is your name. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's close with Aaron's blessing. Incidentally, we'll put those three steps up on the website, David Levine Now, and then we'll put links to it from Beth Israel Now and Facebook and things like that, just so if you weren't taking notes and you want to remember and you can't remember those three steps up, you'll have a resource. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmerecha. Ya'er Adonai p'nav elecha v'yichunecha. Yisa Adonai p'nav elecha v'yasem lecha shalom. The Lord bless you. The Lord protect you. The Lord cause the light of his face to be shining upon you. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face to you and give you his shalom. In the name of Yeshua, the Prince of Peace, Sar Shalom. Amen. Shabbat Shalom. I encourage you to join us in the Oneg and have refreshments and fellowship.